It is good to be with you. I was just thinking as Brother Tom was leading, Brother Roland was reading. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 33. What a joy to be with God's people. To be able to come and just fellowship. Just kindred spirit. Your heart just rejoices. You're just thankful that you're here. That you want to be here. I'd like to look at Deuteronomy 33 verses 1 to 3. The scripture says, "And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai, rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran. And he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. And they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words." Moses is soon to die. I was thinking back on what we know about Moses. You read the account of God's deliverance from Moses as an infant. Pharaoh was going to have all these boys killed. And his mama kept him. Hid him. You read in the scriptures, you thought that there's no way in the world she could hide him that long and they don't know, but God kept him. Put him in a little basket, put him out in the river, you know. Pharaoh's daughter comes along, sees him, and gets him out of the water, brings him into Pharaoh's court. 40 years he was in Egypt. Scripture says in Acts 7:23, for the sake of time, I won't read all this, but I had to tell him, Brother Tom, I knew these numbers. I knew them, but I wanted to see them in Scripture, you know. Acts 7:23 says he was 40 years old when he left Egypt. He killed that Egyptian because that Egyptian was abusing a Hebrew. And, you know, the next day he came and saw a couple of Hebrews squabbling, and he spoke to them. They said, "Well, you going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" And he left, 40 years old. Went into the desert. Scripture says he was 80 years old. Been in the desert 40 years. And he was tending Jethro, his father-in-law's sheep. He came and God called to him out of a burning bush. And Moses turned to go. Going to look at this. And God spoke to him out of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses, take off your shoes because where you're standing is holy ground." He was 80 years old. And God commissioned him to go into Egypt. "I want you to go and you tell Pharaoh, let my people go." He was 80 years old. And he went. Just exactly the way the Lord instructed him to go. And he, as the Lord released Israel, after sending all of those plagues, he kept telling Moses, he said, Pharaoh's going to harden his heart. And the Lord hardened his heart, wouldn't let the people go. After the 10th plague, the Lord told Moses, he said, he'll let them go. "You're going out tomorrow." And so they did. Went into the desert, into the wilderness. 40 years he was in the wilderness. And now Moses is 120 years old. That's what Deuteronomy 34:7 says. 120 years old. And now he's come to the end of his life. He's not going to be able to go into the promised land. The people were thirsty, murmured. And God told Moses, he said, I want you to go and you strike the rock. When I read that account, and the Lord God said, I'm going to stand on that rock. You strike it. I just say that. God was there. He said, you strike the rock, I'm going to be standing there. Arrest me. People murmured. The Lord told him, he said, now you speak to the rock this next time. Moses, angry, struck the rock again. You know, by one sacrifice, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Don't strike him twice. One time, you speak to him. Moses struck the rock the second time, and God told him, he said, you're not going to go into the promised land. You see it, I'll show it to you, but you're not going in. And now he's at the end of his life. And by the direction of God's Spirit, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. Profitable. Correction, reproof, instruction in righteousness. And now, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, Moses is going to pronounce what God Almighty has said is the blessing. Moses is going to mouth it. He's the mouthpiece. He's the voice. This is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. You know, it is a miracle of God's grace that Almighty God will speak. Now, Moses is going to speak God's blessing. He's going to say what God has to say to the people. David, here's what David said in Psalm 28, verse 1, concerning the Lord speaking. Let's say, as not speaking. Listen to Psalm 28:1. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. The Lord is pleased to speak to his people. Now, whenever we see that Moses is going to bless the children of Israel before his death, what he has to say is what God has to say. And God is not silent. When the Lord's pleased to send a pastor, he sent that pastor to reveal his love to the people. Listen to Jeremiah. You've read this. Jeremiah 3. A lot of times I'll quote Jeremiah 3:15. You know, I'll give you pastors after my heart. I want you to listen to verse 14. Just before. Jeremiah 3. Verse 14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I'm married unto you. And I will take you one of a city and two of a family. And I will bring you to Zion, and I'll give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Whenever the Lord is pleased to speak to a people, you know what he's going to do? He's going to send them a preacher. That's what he's going to do. You realize the blessing in Pikeville, Kentucky, that God would raise up a pastor, give a man a heart that wants to be here, wants to study, wants to be prepared. Oh, how tender, tender the heart of God's ministers toward God's people. They watch for your souls. Remember that. Pray for your pastor. God's made him, you know, an overseer. Pray for him. And then Moses began to speak in verse 2, and he said, the Lord came. Now, you know, before I go to another word, Here again, what a blessing. The Lord came. The Lord came. You just said, where two or three are gathered together in my name. And I said before, I think I said it here. Surely, I'm convinced there's two or three here. Surely. And the Lord said, I'm in the midst. I'm there. So we stop and we realize the absolute blessing of God's presence in this place. He meets with His people. But Moses said in blessing the people, he said the Lord came from Sinai. Now, turn to Exodus 19. Now, here's a blessing. Now, this is the blessing. Exodus 19, verse 18 to 20. Exodus 19, verses 18 to 20. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Now, what a blessing. God was not silent. He gave His people His law. You know, a lot of times we speak of the law. Now, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But, brethren, the problem's not with the law. Problem's right here. I'm the problem. But the blessing that Almighty God would give and set forth, His righteousness. The law is the expression of the character of Almighty God. But let me tell you, the blessing also is the law reveals my inability. Now there's a blessing. You take a man or woman, unregenerate. You know what they think? They think that they can, by the deeds of the law, be justified before God. Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, what saith the Scriptures? Well, honor your father and mother. This and that. He said, I've kept all of these from my youth up. All of these I've kept from my youth up. Paul the Apostle said after he was converted, Romans 7:9, for I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. I realized my inability. Let the Spirit of God bless to the heart, that new heart. God's going to show a man what he's incapable of doing. Keeping the law? No. The Scripture sets forth that Almighty God, in blessing His people, gave them His law, showed them themselves, showed them their need of Him. And the Scripture says in the latter part of that second verse, He came with 10,000s of saints from His right hand when a fiery law for them. Them. Acts 7. Turn to Acts 7, 51 to 53. Acts 7, verse 51. Stephen is preaching here just before he's stoned. He said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Now, I looked up that word disposition. And here's the meaning of that word. Instrumentality. That's what it means. Instrumentality. Galatians 3:19 says this. Galatians 3:19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. That word ordained there actually comes from the same root word, instrumentality. Now this is what I can safely say about the tens of thousands of saints, the angels that were there. The scripture bears out that the angels were present mysteriously in the giving of the law. Not that they ordained it, that they were the source of it, but they were there. Mr. Gill said this concerning them, that they were not the ones that were ordering things. Almighty God was ordering things, but the very presence of the angels. And that's how much I can safely say. And outside of that, Brother Tom, I'm not going any farther. Right. You may be able to shed some light on that when I let you do it. So, back in Deuteronomy 33. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai. And then it says, and rose up from Seir unto them. Now, the blessing, the first blessing that I saw, when God gave the law, he gave them the law, the demand of righteousness. Who can keep the law? One. Whoever kept the law? One. This is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. I can't keep the law. Nobody can keep the law. But Almighty God blessed them in giving them the law, showing them his demand, but showing us our inability, disobedience. But listen to this. It says, and he rose up from Seir unto them. Now Seir, I found out, was located in Edom. Now, I want you to turn to Numbers 21. Numbers 21. He rose up in Edom. Now, you know, a lot of times you read these words, he was in Sinai, and then he rose up in Seir, and he was in Paran and stuff. And we just read those words like they we just read them. It was just words, just cities. But Moses is blessing the people of God before he dies. He told them, he said, this is the blessing. God, this is God's blessing to you. He came and it's Sinai, gave his law. Well, what is Seir? What happened in Seir? Numbers 21, verses 4 to 8. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. That's where Seir is. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God, against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent. Set it upon a pole. It shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Now, the Lord, the scripture says, he came from Sinai and rose up from Seir. That rose up, that word rose up, irradiated, shined, made himself magnificently known. What was the blessing in it? Here it is, Bob. He came to Sinai and told them what the demand was. Showed them their inability. And now here in Seir, what are they doing? They're coming around Edom, around in Seir. And what's happening is they're murmuring against God and against Moses. And here's the wages of their sin. Death. Do I have any hope? Yeah. I want you to take a piece of brass and you form it in the shape of a serpent. You make a serpent. That's what's biting. That's the problem. Serpents was a picture of sin. That's what's killing them. And our Lord was made sin. He hath made Him sin, who knew no sin. And here's the mercy of all. Here's the blessing. He said, you raise up that serpent, that brazen serpent. Whoever looks, live. And the Lord said in John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Almighty God set forth in blessing. Here's Moses' blessing, the mouthpiece of God. Here's the blessing. You're a sinner. Here's the remedy. Christ crucified. Look unto me. Look unto me. And then the scripture says, and then he went from Mount Paran. Mount Paran. Now this was the place. I want you to turn to Numbers 10. Numbers chapter 10. Numbers 10. This is what he did. Numbers 10, the scripture says, verses 11 to 13. Numbers 10, 11. Came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year. Now they've been in the wilderness now a little over a year. That the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony, and the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran. And they first took their journey according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. So this is the place after about a year. They've been in the wilderness, and they were led by God to start in this place. The cloud moved and brought them to this place. They were going to Canaan. But let me tell you something else about this place, Paran. This was the place from which the spies were sent. Look at, just turn over a couple of pages, Numbers 12. Numbers 12, this is where the spies were sent into Canaan to spy out the land. Numbers 12, verse 16 through chapter 13 and verse 3. And afterward the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And he gives all the names of who went. But look in verse 16. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Joshua, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. Now, here was some spies that were sent into the land of Canaan. Out of all those men that went into the land of Canaan, two of them, Joshua and Caleb, came back and said, God's given us this. All the rest of them said, no, we can't do it. Can't do it. Oh, they're just too big. They're just too big. We're just grasshoppers. Oh, they brought back, magnificent things from that place. It was a wonderful, wonderful place. God has given us this. Joshua and Caleb said, God's given us this. The other says, no, you can't. You're not going in. Joshua and Caleb were the only two that were able to go back, go into the land of Canaan. Here's the blessing back in Deuteronomy 33. I'm sorry. The Lord came from Sinai, gave the law, told them, set forth His demand for righteousness, and told them their inability. He rose up, He shined forth the glory of their only hope, raising up of a brazen serpent. Picture of the Lord Jesus Christ here, made what they are by nature, made sin. And then he said, he shined forth from Mount Paran. You know what? The just are going to live by faith. God said, I'm going to give you that land. That's your land. Joshua and Caleb said, God gave us the land. It's ours. We can take it. Does it? It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What a blessing. It's what Moses said. Our God is God. God Almighty. But then look in verse 3. Here's verse 3. Now from right here, these are the particulars. There's four marks of a believer right here. Here's the blessing that was set forth in verse 2. And now, four marks of a believer. Verse 3. Yea. Yes. Is what this means. Amen. Whenever Almighty God gives a yea and an amen, write it down. It's so. It's so. Yea, He loved the people. Now there's a mark of a believer. What is a believer? He's a beloved child. He's a beloved son. This love wherewith God loves His people. When did that love begin? It never began. I can't even get a hold of that, Tom. Yeah. It never began. Listen. Jeremiah 31:3. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. At what point was God not? He's the eternal God. At what point then did God not love? He never changes. At what point did love begin? It never began. He said, I've always loved you. He told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. I mean, we began to think on these scriptures like this, and I think, these things are too high for me. I can't grasp. But Lord, as you say it is, it is. Who are these? Who are these objects of His affection here? The beloved. The beloved. And it's a distinguishing look. Look at Exodus 11:4. Exodus 11:4. This is a distinguishing love. Does God love everybody? No. No. Malachi says, I've loved you, saith the Lord, yet you say, wherein or how or what way hast thou loved us? And the Lord's answer, was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I love Jacob. What was different from Jacob and Esau? What was the difference between Jacob and Esau? Well, in themselves, nothing. Yeah. Nothing. Nothing. They were twin brothers. Came from the same mama, same daddy. Does the Lord have the right to make out of the same lump one vessel of honor? Worth the cost. Look up the word honor. Worth the cost. And another unto dishonor. Does God have a right to do that? Yes, He does. Who art thou, O man, that repliest against God? This is a distinguishing. Look at Exodus 11:4-7. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, all the firstborn of beasts. There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall it be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that you may know how the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. What was the difference between the Egyptians and Israel? The grace of God. That was it. That's the only difference. The Scripture says, yea, He loved the people. And it's an eternal love. Romans 8:33 sets forth this truth. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we're all, we're we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's a marvelous comfort to me. I know something of what I am. Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, I know something of that." I don't know the depth of my rebellion, but I can tell you this, based on His Word, who shall separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? Who? Oh, what a mark. What a mark. Yea, He loved the people. Here's the second mark. All His saints are in Thy hand. Brother Tom and I was talking about this. Turn to Psalm 95:7. We were talking about, he brought this up. I thought that was so good. I wrote it in, Tom. Wrote it in my notes. Psalm 95, verse 7. The Scripture says, "For He is our God, and we are the sheep." We are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. We are the sheep of His hand. We're in His hand. I heard Brother Henry say one time, somebody told him, he said, "Well, what you're saying, just going to be a handful saved." He said, "Yeah, but it just depends on whose hand we're talking about." You know, we're the sheep of His hand. In His hand, we're secure. Now here's the blessing. We are in the hand of Almighty God. John 10. Again, we read these scriptures, as I said a moment ago. John 10:27. And as we read these scriptures, and they're so familiar that as we read them, we almost pass over them. Just, you know, we've read it so many times. You quote Ephesians 1:4. You know, it's just so easily quoted. But if we could just stop and muse upon it, and God give us some understanding on it. John 10, verse 27. "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand." Based on that word right there, His sheep are secure. Based on that word, His sheep are secure. "My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one." In the hand of Almighty God, who is able to wrest or tear away His child? The one of His choosing. Who could tear away His bride from Him? I'll tell you this, I'm not going to be so foolish, but I would confidently say, if somebody was trying to get my wife, now you may kill me, but you'll have to. Mm-hmm. You'll have to. Because I'm not going to take it just lying down. Now, let me ask you this. Who is going to take out of the hand of God Almighty? Out of the hand of God Almighty. Yeah. Almighty God. There is no God but Me. Omnipotence. All power is given unto the Son. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Me. Now let me ask you this. Who is going to take from Him who is all power? You know, I heard Brother Henry say, we just have way too many fears and doubts. when we realize for a moment that we're being kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. David said concerning the Lord's hand, here's what he is, all his saints are in thy hand. David said in Psalm 31:15, my times, that is all the issues of my life, everything. What was the Lord's will for me today? What was the Lord's will for you today? Whatever came to pass. He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. He worketh all things. But whatever comes by, David said, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Isaiah 49:15, the scripture sets forth, can a mother forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Could she do that? Well, the Lord says, yea. Yes. They may forget. You know, you think, I just can't even imagine. The Lord said, yeah. Yeah, mother, her child, yeah, yeah. He said, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Here's the blessing. Yea, he loved the people. And all his saints are in thy hand. And here's the third. And they sat down at thy feet. Those humbled by God Almighty, they want to just hear what God has to say. This is what, don't tell me what you think. I went through Revelation twice a few years ago. And I told the folks this. I said, here's what I'm going to do. I said, there's a lot of posters and signs and thoughts and this, that, and the other on the book of Revelation. It's all about, you know, they said this, that, and the other. And I said, here's what we're going to do. I said, everybody's got an opinion. But I said, the only thing that I want to know is, what does God have to say about it? Now, this is it. What does the Lord have to say? They sat down at His feet. There was, in Luke 10, the Scripture says that the Lord, Luke 10:38, says, came to pass as they went that He, the Lord, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Now this, what a blessing. That somebody would want to just sit down and be quiet and listen. Just tell me one more time how the Lord's put away my guilt. Tell me one more time. I've heard that before. Tell me one more time. Tell me about He who says, I'll never leave you. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Never. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But listen to this now. But one thing is needful. One thing is needful. Now that right there ought to arrest us. Right there. One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part. What was she doing? Well, the Scripture says, here's what she was doing. It says that Martha had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Now let me tell you one thing that's needful. Hear the word of God. Hear God's word. One thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. If there's one thing that I could encourage all of us to do. Let us sit and hear what God has to say. Just sit. That is a blessing that a man or a woman, that's the evidence of life. That I'm satisfied just to sit down and be quiet and listen. In Mark chapter 5, verse 1 to 4, there was an incident that happened. Mark 5, they came over under the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been oft bound with fetters and chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Well, you know what happened. The Lord spoke to the demon, you know. What's your name? Legion. Come out of him. Can we go into those pigs over there? Yes, you can. I give you permission to do so. When hogs went out and drowned themselves. But look at verse 15. Here's what happened after the Lord delivered that man. Verse 15. They come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. Here's what he's doing. He's sitting. He's chosen that good thing. He's clothed. Oh, I just, you know, spiritually speaking, you know, here's the sign of a believer. He's robed in the righteousness of Christ. And listen to this. He's in his right mind. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to put a new spirit in you. Born from above. He's in his right mind. And they were afraid. Here was a man that was now satisfied just to sit and hear what the Lord had to say. Lord, you my sheep hear my voice. He loved the people. All his saints are in his hand. They sit down at his feet. And here's the last one. And everyone shall receive of thy word. We're needy people. We're needy people. We're ignorant of things that truly matter, eternal things. We're ignorant. But God's people are taught people. He said, everyone shall receive of thy words. John 6:45 says, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Here's what they're going to, all of them are going to be taught of God. They shall all be taught of God. They shall all be, everyone shall receive of thy words. What a blessing. That God would send his word anywhere. Anywhere. But where God Almighty has been pleased to raise up a people, I tell you what he's going to reveal to them. That he loves them. That they're in his hand. They're taught. They're taught of God. Kept by the power of God. Through faith. He said heaven and earth are going to pass away. But my words shall not pass away. Every one of them is going to receive his words. They're going to learn of Christ. All right, Brother Tom.